Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I want to kind of, I don't know if we're going to make this any kind of a series or anything, but I wanted to kind of take some time, and we're going to begin tonight by looking at some of the characteristics of God himself. And this may turn into several different messages. I don't know yet. If you're there in Deuteronomy chapter 32, if you'll stand out of love and respect for God's word, you can follow along silently as I read the first nine verses here. This is in your Bibles. It might be entitled The Song of Moses, and here that he sings, well, supposedly. We know that in verse 30 it says, and then Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. And so we have this this kind of circumstances where we are here in the Bible. And we're going to read here these first nine verses of chapter 32. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. The word truth just simply means conformity to fact or reality. It also means exact accordance with that which is or has been or shall be. Now, if you aren't drawing any conclusions right now, we need to do a little more study about God. Right? Alpha, Omega, beginning, ending, first, the last. Okay? In the book of Revelations, Jesus is called that which is and which was and is to come. Did you see this? Exact accordance with that which is, or has been, or shall be. What is it? What word are we defining? Oh, yeah, truth. You see what I'm talking about here? So this is the very thing. And I guess some of this was just sparked by just people questioning God. Now, anytime I hear people questioning God or the things of God, the church, the word of God, you know, why does God do this? Why does God do that? Why did he allow this? Why did he allow that? Anytime I hear that, my mind automatically goes to Genesis chapter 3. I mean, every time. Every time somebody questions something about God or anything about the things of God or the word of God or anything that's what we consider truth, I automatically go, my mind just goes, yea, hath God said. I mean, every time. Who are we to question the Almighty? And I guess that's where this kind of thing went, and this verse popped in my head and several other verses, but you know, Moses says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And this is who God is.
a God of truth, exactness, conformity to rule, true state of facts or things, honesty, virtue. This is our God. No variableness, no shadow of turning, right? That's what the Bible tells us. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God of truth. You understand that without this as our basis, we have nothing. There are religions, there are false teachers, there are prophets, so-called, that are out questioning the things of God. The validity of the King James Bible, the Word of God. Question after question after question after question. Hey, at some point in time, you just have to settle it that it either is or it isn't. You just have to settle it. And listen, I will be the first to say that it is by faith. And we can come up with all kinds of evidences, and we can come up with all kinds of arguments. I am for studying what they call the defense of the King James Bible. I'm manuscript evidence. I'm for that. I've got several books on it if you want to borrow some of them. They're wonderful. It may take you a couple of years to get through them. It may even take you a few months to begin to understand them. But listen to me. What it all boils down to is faith. Do I believe that God is truth? Because if I believe that, if that's at the focal point of who I am, then I can be like Paul and say, I believe God. I believe God. What did God say? My word is above everything. My word is my word. It's perfect. It's entire. It's complete. And it's for you. I'm going to make sure that you have it and that it can be for all generations. I gotta believe that. I believe that. Because he's a God of truth. Hey, he says salvation is not in any other than who? Jesus Christ. There's none other name given among men, right? Under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. It is his name. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I believe that. Because it's something I've chosen to believe, that he is truth. It's fact. It's reality. It is, has been, or shall be. Honesty, virtue, exactness, conformity to rule, true state of facts or things. God is a God of truth. Here in this discourse, Moses goes through and says, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Hey, is this truth just for the children of Israel? Is this truth just for those who have chosen to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior? No, he says, hey, listen, heavens, hear. Earth, hear. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we have a whosoever God, a whosoever salvation. Anyone can come. Hey, if you're part of Islam, you can come to Jesus. You can come to know the God of truth. If you're part of some denomination or you're stuck in some sort of made-up religion or have no religion at all, there's room at the cross for you. The God of truth wants to be known to you. He's not trying to hide himself. Paul was there on Mars Hill proclaiming this unknown God whom they worship ignorantly. He said, hey, that's who I'm going to declare to you today. And guess what? Some believe. Some called him a madman. Some said, well, you know what? You've intrigued us. We'll hear you again later. You caught our attention about this God of truth. God is a God of truth. And he wants us to know it. Moses said, my doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the... Don't you love these words that he's using here? You know they mean something? What do you think of when you think of the rain and the dew and the small rain upon a tender herb and the showers upon the grass? Pure, clean, refreshing truth. Right? What are we begging for and dying for here in Texas at this time of the year? Rain, please. I'll even take dirty rain. I don't care if it's clean. I just want something. But isn't that what he's saying? He said, hey, it'll drop as the rain. It provides life, sustenance, refreshing. What? That God is a God of truth. He says that these things, he said, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. You know, the children of Israel were there for a purpose. They were blessed for a purpose. They were increased and multiplied for a purpose to show God to the other nations. What did they end up doing in their time with this wonderful opportunity? They threw it away. We want a king like everybody else has. Wait, it's supposed to be the other nations are supposed to be knocking on their door saying, hey, we want a king like you've got. Because of how they lived their life. God was their king. That's how it was supposed to be. They were supposed to ascribe greatness to their God. Publish the name of the Lord. Why? Because he is the rock. His work is perfect. And all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. And without iniquity. Just and right is he. Just a few things tonight. And we only have a few minutes left. And this may be some sort of an introduction. Again, I don't know. But I'll know by next Wednesday. I'll tell you that. And if I don't know, I'll make something up. Okay? No. In 1 Kings chapter 17, remember the woman that had the son and took care of Elijah during the famine time, the difficult time. Her own words after he raised her son from the dead, she said, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. She didn't say that Elijah's words were truth, but that what Elijah said was God's word was truth. You see, God's word is truth. There is truth in his word. In 2 Samuel, the Bible tells us, it says, and now, O Lord God, I like what David says here. Thou art that God. That God. Not just any God, but that God. You know, that, I like that. That may become a message one of these days. That God. And thy words be true. And thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it. Listen. So in other words, if God speaks it, it just is. Who is going to question? Who is going to be the one? Yea, hath God said? You know who does that, right? You know who I can put the quotation by so-and-so there? Yeah, it's called the serpent. That old devil, the dragon, Lucifer. David said, you spoke it, God. Just let it be this way. You're the God of truth. Your words are truth. Thou art that God, and thy words be true. In John chapter 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hey, what washes us and sets us apart for service to God? His word. His word. What cleanses us from all unrighteousness? His book. What keeps us from sinning against God and doing the things that we ought not do and such and so forth? His word. It's truth. There's truth in His word. His word is truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. It's by the truth of God's word. Aren't you glad that God's word is truth? This is not a Bible verse, but God said it, and that settles it. I believe God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. In Titus chapter 1, Paul reassured the servant of God, Titus, that he, Paul, the servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, with the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. You say, how do we know that God keeps His promises? How do we know that whatever He says is true? Without a shadow of doubt, without any question. In Hebrews 6, it says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Do you see how many definite things are here? Immutable things. Say, I don't know what that means. Go look it up. It means things without question. Can't question them. It's kind of like one of my favorite words. It's called an axiom. I love axioms. You see, what is that? It's mathematics, geometry. Love it. You know what they are? They're things that do not have to be proven. They just are. They just are. Anyways. Have an anchor for the soul. Both sure and steadfast. More words, right? And which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We know the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I think I've adequately put out there that God is a God of truth. And His Word is truth. The words that we have recorded here in Scripture that have been carefully preserved for us in the English language in the King James Bible is truth. And you've heard me say, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times, things that are different cannot be the same. They're not. You know, I could get up on a stand in a courtroom and swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And if I say that such and such is the truth, someone after me cannot say, no, this and this is the truth. Can I tell you such and such and this cannot both be the truth if they are not the same? One's the truth and one is not. Or they're both not, but they both can't be. Can't be. We have the truth in the Word of God because He's a God of truth. And listen, as a Christian, we must believe that. There has to be no question. You can't say, well, here it says this, and here it says this, it's got to be wrong. It's got to be wrong. No, see, that's someone who has the premise that God is not true. And that God is not truth. You know what the person that says, well, this doesn't match up with this. I must not be seeing something. You know what you're admitting? That God is true, His Word is true, and that we don't know everything. So I must be wrong. There must be something wrong with me. Because God is a God of truth. That's what I'm kind of going after tonight. That's the premise of things. But He's true in His Word. Now go back to what we saw in verse 4 of Moses' declaration. He is the rock. His work is perfect. The second thing I want us to see tonight is that not only is God a God of truth in His Word, but He's also a truth, a God of truth in His works. In His works. I would love for someone to come forward and try to question the works of God. Many have tried, and all have failed. All. I forget which particular one it was, but there was, I think it was one of the ites. You know, Hittites, Hivites, whateverites, Canaanites, Jebusites, you know. Whateverites. But I think it was one of the ites that for years archaeologists said the Bible is wrong. There is no record of this people group in history. They said, Bible's wrong. Scriptures are false. There's no record. Nobody's even heard of these people except for the Bible record of it. Well, lo and behold, what did they uncover? Now, why is anybody surprised? Why? We would not be surprised if we believed He was a God of truth. Because this record would surpass all other historical records. Because of who He is. A God of truth. Folks, His works are truth. The word of the Lord is right. And all His works are done in truth. All of them. I can't say it enough that all is the biggest little word I know. How many is all? 99.975639428731%? No? 100. 100%. All his works are done in truth. This is Psalm 33. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Again, not just Israel, not just the redeemed, not just the saved, but all the world stand in awe of him. Why? His works are truth. They are all done in truth. They are truth. And guess what? Even an heathen king could understand this. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar lifted himself up in pride? And God struck him down? Turned him into a wild beast. Right? Well, when he came to his senses and came out of that time, he said this, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth." This is what Nebuchadnezzar said about the works of God Almighty, who just struck him down and whom had him just spend the last several years in a pasture, eating grass, being mocked and being afraid, people afraid of him. Right? Hiding their children away. He said, "All whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to obey." No duh. I think he meant that personally, didn't he? Because he knew his sin. And he knew how God had humbled him. And guess what? It was the truth. And it was done in truth. Because his ways are truth. Excuse me, his works are truth. I've just revealed point number three. But we're not going to have time for that one tonight. In Psalm 78, we've read this many times. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments." And listen to me, that is what's wrong with our world today. That's what's wrong with it. Nobody believes that God is a God of truth anymore. Nobody believes that his words are truth. Nobody believes that his works are truth, because it's not being passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. Oh yeah, it could be that way. Well, God's word could be true, or God, you know, he's not could be. He is. Unquestionably. Are you going to let someone tell you otherwise? Some college professor? Some scientist? Don't let an English professor tell you anything. Okay? Because they only believe in exceptions to the rule. Not the rules. I'm sorry, English teachers. I had to put that in there. I just had to. He's a God of truth. That's got to be our very core. I mean, it ought to ooze out of us. it just ought to be just, it just ought to hit everybody we walk by. That there is a God. The God. A God of truth. His word is true and his works are true. It just has to be. And if we're going to be as we ought to be, called by his name, a peculiar people, sanctified and set apart for a purpose, that we might show to the generations to come his wonderful works. We've got to believe this with all that we have. There ought to be no question, zero question, that this is what we believe about God. The problem with our generations today, they have not set their hope in God. They have forgotten the works of God. They don't even know what his commandments are, so how can they even keep them? But it's established. It's supposed to be this way. Don't hide them from your children and the generations to come. The children that should be born. And arise and declare them to all that we serve a God of truth, that his word is true and his works are truth.